Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, I want to share with you the commission of the ministry that God gave to Joseph Hedgecock, the founder of Servants of the Lord Ministries, many years ago. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They've sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts. I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled, that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time." Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know Him and grow up in Him and be ready for His appearing. Today I'm sharing a message called Morrow. Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 to 34. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, starting in verse 24. "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Verse 25. "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for the body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment?" Verse 26. "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are ye not much better than they?" Verse 27. "Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature?" Verse 28. "And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin." Verse 29. "And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these." Verse 30. "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" Verse 31. "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed?" Verse 32. "For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that ye have need of all these things." Verse 33. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Verse 34. "Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow should take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." The word morrow in Strong's is number 839. It comes from another word meaning a breeze. That is the morning air, properly something fresh. That is adverbially the beginning of tomorrow or the next day. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Matthew 6 verse 30 says, "But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and green and tomorrow is tossed into the furnace, will he not much more surely clothe you, O you of little faith?" You should be living like this is your last day on earth, doing God's work with an anointing, surrounded by other things, putting demands on your time and energy. With this world passing away, is very rewarding. Clothe yourself with Christ, and you will not miss any opportunities to obey. Philippians 4 and verse 13. "When tired, do not rely on common sense or reason, but let the Holy Spirit direct, and he will give you the grace needed to do what God says without any unnecessary suffering." In hot countries, a morning breeze is always welcome. In India, there is a saying that only mad dogs and Englishmen go out in the midday sun. This was said to honor those that moved at the right time and gained an advantage over the local people. Those serving any other master, by listening to their flesh, will hate or despise Christ and his teachings. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 14 to 17. This is in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, I'm reading verse 14. Wherefore he says, awake thou who sleeps, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Verse 16. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Verse 17. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. The word circumspectly in Strong's is number 199. It's an adverb from another word meaning exactly, circumspectly, diligently, perfect or perfectly. There is a time and a place for every activity under the sun. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1. Start every day with his instructions, or you will drift away from his presence, serving the cares of the world as the day proceeds. Evil is not a problem if you're always working on your ability to communicate with God, as he knows what the devil is doing. You need more light, revelation, conviction, and correction to walk circumspectly. You were sent here to do God's perfect will. Those asleep need to wake up to righteousness by faith alone. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 34. Those making decisions with their own minds are operating with an antichrist spirit. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. I'm reading the book of Revelation chapter 3, starting in verse 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Verse 11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. In the Living Bible, Revelation 3 and verse 10 says, because you have patiently obeyed me despite the persecution, therefore I will protect you from the time of great tribulation and temptation, which will come upon the whole world to test everyone alive. You will receive a crown of righteousness, obeying the Holy Spirit consistently in the face of persecution. As this world is passing away, sin is abounding, because the temptation to do what you want, when you want, is increasing exponentially. The faith of those who claim to be Christians by just attending church or saying Jesus is Lord will be tested. If you start your day with a time of prayer, God may appear closer. You will not stop sinning, however, or get an abundance of grace by just humbling yourselves and confessing your sin. Follow his instructions and work out your own salvation when your situation does not appear to change, and you'll be ready for the unexpected. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 14, verses 17 to 19. I'm reading Romans chapter 14, and this is verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Verse 18. For he that is in these things serves Christ, is acceptable to God and approved of men. Verse 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. You may have learned how to serve man acceptably with the peace of the world. However, you will need the peace of God to remain calm, to hear, trust, and obey in complicated situations. You'll also need his peace on the narrow way to grow spiritually through repentance. You'll need the joy of the Lord every day that comes from pleasing God. Only those living by faith consistently follow after the things that make peace in complicated situations and edify others. If you're always getting angry and frustrated, you are living by sight and serving the devil, not Christ. We read in Luke chapter 17, verses 20 and 21. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 17. I'm reading verse 20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation." Verse 21. "Neither shall they say, Lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." The kingdom of God has been functioning on this earth for nearly 2,000 years by the Spirit after Jesus died on the cross. God is no respecter of persons. It's here for those that have repented of dead works and want to hear, trust, and obey his voice consistently. Jesus is the mediator between God and man, 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5, to help anyone do the works of the Father with his anointing. The religious Jews thought his disciples were going to start some new religion, but his kingdom is not an organization or run by a committee. The kingdom of God is in the broken-hearted disciple that is humble and lowly. The meek, along with many other saints, through deep repentance, will inherit the earth on an individual basis only at his appearing. Matthew 5 and verse 5. Paul wrote this in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 and reading to verse 8. This is Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 4. "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." Verse 5. "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." Verse 6. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, for by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Verse 7. "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Verse 8. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." The word moderation in Strong's is number 1933. It comes from some other words meaning appropriate, that is, by implication, mild, gentle, moderation, or patient. There is grace where you are now, but there's no grace to stay where you are. You may have experienced peace and joy initially, but this will fade away if you do not work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. Philippians 2:12. Apply the instructions God gave you here through Paul to establish the peace of God before you run out of grace. Be modest and clearly state that you're only hearing and following instructions given by the Spirit. Do not boast about something you received by faith when you did not qualify for it. Let godliness with contentment be your guide. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 6. So that you do not serve two masters. After hearing your testimony, everyone should see the importance of asking God more questions with the gift of eternal life. Get a list of what is safe to think about in complicated situations, or you'll be overcome with anxiety and stress yourself. In the Message Bible, Philippians 4:4-5 says, "Celebrate God all day, every day. I mean, revel in him. Make it as clear as you can to all you meet that you're on their side, working with them and not against them. Help them see that the Master is about to arrive and he could show up any minute. No one will take your testimony seriously based on hearing and obeying God unless they see you rejoicing and reveling in him all day long. Others need to believe his kingdom is here now and he's coming back for those who have made themselves ready." James wrote in James chapter 1 and verse 25. This is in the book of James chapter 1. I'm reading verse 25. "But whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." In the Message Bible, James 1:25 says, But whoever catches a glimpse of the revealed counsel of God, the free life, even out of the corner of his eye, and sticks with it, is no distracted scatterbrain, but a man or woman of action. That person will find delight and affirmation in the action. You are set free through repentance to live an exciting life as a doer of the rightly revealed word of truth. You cannot come to truth using your mind. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 to 15. This is Galatians chapter 5. I'm reading verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. Verse 15. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Presented with the good news, you were set free from the slave market of sin by rejecting the flesh and obeying the Spirit. There are many decisions to make following Christ when you start. So get under someone else and serve them. Otherwise, you'll be under pressure to make too many decisions all at once quickly using your own mind without asking God. If you make the right choice consistently to obey the Spirit, you will have an abundance of love. If you choose the flesh, you'll end up devouring others for the sake of some vain ministry that you are doing in spiritualized flesh. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, verses 3 and 4. I'm reading Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, starting in verse 3. And said, verily, I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Matthew 18 and verse 4 says, whosoever will humble himself therefore and become like this little child, trusting, lowly, loving, forgiving, is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. The good news is now that anyone born again with grace and truth can learn to hear his voice consistently and obey him under pressure. The kingdom of heaven is here on earth now for those responding to conviction and becoming like a little child. Carnal believers do the minimum to enter. They make excuses for disobedience, do things they like to do that involves no pressure at all, and then wonder why they do not make any progress spiritually. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 5 and 6. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm reading verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Verse 6. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience, when your obedience is fulfilled. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually, in Chapter 1, Who Are You? On page 20, Joseph Hedgecott writes, Satan comes as an angel of light to deceive us. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 14. He tempts us to use our natural minds to understand the gospel. If he can persuade us to use natural learning methods, it's easy for him to take us captive with ways that seem right. These methods only work in the old nature. When you live in the new nature, every tool Satan has is useless. He has no access to destroy you. You can only get access through a lie he has already established in your mind. He does not have access to your spirit. This is why the battle for victory is fought in your mind. This is why you are commanded to bring every thought captive to Christ. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5. You will never defeat Satan if you do not allow your thoughts to be changed and renewed by the Holy Spirit. Your spirit was sealed when you were saved. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 22. Before salvation, Satan had full access to your mind. You yielded to him, whether it was through anger, rebellion, fear, or any other sin. It could have been ways that seem right or self-righteousness. He uses his accesses in your carnal nature. If he cannot stop you from becoming a child of God, his number one priority is to stop you from growing up in God's kingdom. He never stops trying to steal, kill, and destroy. John 10 and verse 10, first part. The devil does not want us to learn about the kingdom of God, our inheritance, or the gift of eternal life. He does not want us to know who we are in Christ. He does not want us to understand the new nature and how it is developed in us. He wants us ignorant of the fact that God is making an original, unique creation in each of us. A simple notebook system with a list of sins is a great place to start. You can record what you experienced in complicated situations and study the word of truth and conviction. In the Living Bible, 2 Corinthians 10 verses 5 and 6 says this: these weapons can break down every proud argument against God and every wall that can be built to keep men from finding him. With these weapons, I can capture rebels and bring them back to God and change them into men whose heart's desire is obedience to Christ. I will use these weapons against every rebel who remains after I have first used them on you yourselves and you surrender to Christ. The devil does not want you to rescue anyone else from the slave market of sin. Fighting the fight of faith, you will be given the tools you need to expose the unbelief in your own life first. You will then be given authority to overcome warped ideas used to stop others getting on the narrow way, for example. Your hearers can rescue themselves using the same weapons you use when they see the fruit of repentance in your own life. Paul had the tools to help the lazy and the lukewarm wake up and become busy about the Father's business. John wrote in 1 John chapter 2, verses 14, and reading to verse 19. This is 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 14. I've written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I've written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Verse 17. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever. Verse 18. Little children, it's the last time, as you've heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Christ overcame the cross in the same physical body by trusting and submitting himself to God, and then appeared to the faithful disciples in the upper room. John chapter 20, verses 25 to 31. Only Judas Iscariot listened to an Antichrist spirit and perished before the resurrection. Death has lost its sting now. For those that are consistently acknowledging God in all their ways and do not lean to their own understanding in this world. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 55 to 56. Through obedience to the Spirit in all areas, you make yourself dead to self and alive to God. You cannot walk in the Spirit and in the flesh at the same time. Galatians 5:16. In the Living Bible, Philippians 4 and verse 8 says, "And now, brothers, as I close this letter, let me say this one more thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and good and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely, and dwell on the fine, good things in others. Think about all you can praise God for and be glad about. Repent of the reasons why you start thinking about your situation under pressure, following Christ, or you'll not be able to hear, trust, and obey consistently. Meditate on the things that are true and right, that open doors to the provision in his kingdom. You should know what things are pure and lovely in your life through repentance. Dwell on what others got by asking God consistently. God can take care of what you cannot change effortlessly by bringing thoughts to your mind. Thinking on the right things will trigger areas for repentance and faith and guide you to areas where you missed opportunities to do the will of God." Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. This is in the book of Romans chapter 12. I'm reading verse 1. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Verse 2. "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Verse 3. "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." In the Message Bible, Romans 12 and verse 3 says, "I'm speaking to you out of deep gratitude for all that God has given me, and especially as I have responsibilities in relation to you. Living then, as every one of you does, in pure grace, it's important that you not misinterpret yourselves as people who are bringing this goodness to God. No, God brings it all to you. The only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and by what he does for us, not by what we are and what we do for him. Everything God provides that you need comes through his communication system by the Spirit. Paul begged the church to stop being ignorant and become living sacrifices for God. You'll be blessed if you listen, trust, and obey in complicated situations. Your own calling and election is not guaranteed if you keep taking matters into your own hands in these last days. If you're always thinking how you can maintain your comfortable Christian lifestyle, you're becoming high-minded. The lazy and foolish in the body of Christ that had not renewed their minds with the gift of eternal life during the COVID years were all listening to conspiracy theories. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15. This is in the book of Hebrews chapter 12. I'm reading verse 15. "Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." The word defiled in Strong's is number 3392. It's a primary verb meaning to sully or to taint. That is to contaminate, ceremonially or morally defile. God's ways are so much higher than our ways. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. "Those ignoring the grieving of the Spirit when you come out of his kingdom are rejecting Christ." Your brain has the ability to hear divine thoughts so that you can serve the living God controlled by the Spirit. Psalm 46 and verse 10. Start now and experience God's help in complicated situations by denying yourself and taking up your cross daily. Those with a root of bitterness start thinking when God is speaking, because they prefer to believe God is corrupt. You will not be used for noble purposes until you purge yourself of lies you believe for the sake of your flesh. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 21. There is no democracy in heaven. So you just need to be strong in the grace instead. To hear God like a little child as the pressure increases. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 1. Follow his instructions and make time if you don't want to fail of the grace of God. Jesus said in Luke 11, verse 34 to 36. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 11. I'm reading verse 34. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thy eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thy eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Verse 35. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. Verse 36. If thy whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. Only God can make the final decision. Because he sees the end from the beginning, not you. Conviction is the means to be filled with more light. If your faith in God stops working through fear, unbelief, and doubts, you'll be filled with darkness instead. Your soul will become extremely dark when you are no longer responding to truth and conviction. Peter wrote this in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 to 22. This is 2 Peter chapter 2. I'm reading verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Verse 21. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, then after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Verse 22. But it's happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. In the Living Bible, 2 Peter 2, verse 20 to 22 says, and when a person has ceased from the wicked ways of the world by learning about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and then gets entangled up with sin and becomes its slave again, he is worse off than he was before. It would be better if he had never known about Christ at all than to learn of him and then afterwards turn his back on the holy commandments that were given to him. There is an old saying that a dog comes back to what he has vomited, and a pig is washed only to come back and wallow in the mud again. That is the way it is with those who turn again to their sin. Those born again should be living by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. The more you look, the less you see of the eternal realm. The carnal react rather than act based on what God is showing them and forget they were cleansed from their past sins. 2 Peter 1 and verse 9. The kingdom of God is still providing everything you need to live the life of faith on earth, controlled by the Spirit. If you are living by sight, you have already gone back to your old ways. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4. I'm reading to verse 10. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting in verse 4. Love suffers long and is kind. Love envies not. Love vaunts not itself, is not puffed up. Verse 5. Does not behave itself unseemly, seeks not her own, is not easily provoked, thinks no evil. Verse 6, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Verse 7, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Verse 8, love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they shall fail. Where there are tongues, they shall cease. Where there is knowledge, it shall vanish away. Verse 9, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part. Verse 10, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. The fruit of the Spirit in complicated situation is a sign of maturity, not the gifts of the Spirit functioning in the church. Do not rely on a single word of prophecy without getting all the details using the gift of eternal life. Those not using the gift of eternal life will be left behind. Prophecy, tongues, and knowledge will cease. Those trusting in the finished work of Christ on the cross without laying hold on eternal life are lazy and wicked. John wrote in 1 John chapter 5, verses 13, to verse 18. This is 1 John chapter 5, starting in verse 13. Verse 13, these things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Verse 15, if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Verse 16, if any man see his brother sin, a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and shall give him life. For them that sin not unto death, there is a sin unto death, and I do not say that he shall pray for it. Verse 17, all unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. Verse 18, we know that whosoever is born of God sins not, but he that is begotten of God keeps himself, and that wicked one touches him not. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. If you believe, those trying to maintain their own name or reputation spiritualize their mistakes rather than confessing their faults one to another. Blinded by vain ministry, their prayers are not heard. Their focus is no longer about being one with God through a love relationship and obedience to the Spirit. John 10 and verse 30. You can be born again by the Spirit and not be born of God. Those born of God use the gift of eternal life confidently and have fellowship with God as the pressure of following Christ increases. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 and reading to verse 14. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verse 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he stands take heed lest he fall. Verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with that temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Verse 14, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Those in the body of Christ that think they have some success or arrived at any level without following instructions have idols. They crash spiritually and still have dark areas where they do not ask the Lord and do their own will instead. God is no respecter of persons. You will be saved by fire through many unnecessary difficulties if you have any idols. 1 John chapter 5, verse 21. James wrote in James chapter 5, verses 8 to 11. This is James chapter 5. I'm reading verse 8. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draws nigh. Verse 9. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge stands before the door. Verse 10. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Verse 11, behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Use conviction in precious situations to repent and be doers of the word with God's grace. Having a grudge comes from comparing yourselves with someone else and what they have. Only compare yourself to Christ, who had everything and laid aside his divinity to become like you. Jesus is now the judge, and he will judge everyone based on what they did with what they were given. There is a hedge of protection around you that will be removed to expose even a single idol if necessary. Job 1 and verse 10. In the Message Bible, Romans 12 verses 1 to 2 says this. So there, what I want you to do, God helping you, take your everyday ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Until he is making all the final decisions, your mind has not been completely renewed. Trust God for his solutions in complicated situations, or you'll never grow up spiritually. You will not receive everything God has by faith for you without hearing and obeying his voice in complicated situations. Every tongue and nation needs the peace of God, so they have ears to hear. Those obeying the Holy Spirit consistently now look like Christ, who submitted himself to God and did nothing to save himself on the cross. Jesus said in Luke's Gospel, chapter 14, verses 27 to 30. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 14. I'm reading verse 27. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Verse 28. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sits not down first and counts the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it? Verse 29. Lest happily, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mock him. Verse 30. Saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. You may look like a castaway to others now, but with the right foundation, one, two, or even three stories can be added quickly at the right time when the resources arrive. Hebrews 6 and verse 1. Carnal believers will mock or laugh at you because you are investing so much time in your ability to hear God under pressure with the gift of eternal life. Your spiritual building will look like a construction zone for a period of time too, if it has to go deeper. It is more costly to build a deep foundation later after you started building. Do not be put off by the foolish saying, when will you finish the work? The deeper you go, the higher the building will be at the end of the day. Deepen your spiritual foundations now, or you'll be a castaway when he appears. Your spiritual foundation is only as strong as the weakest link, where you function out of your own lordship. What you have built yourself using your own reasoning and understanding will also be tested by fire. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 15. You will not be ready for his appearing, doing your first works again and again. Revelation 2 and verse 5. If you want a copy of these notes, please write and answer the following questions and send your answers to me. Number 1. What were you thinking about when there seemed to be a change of circumstances and why? Number 2. What lessons have you learned through keeping your mind fixed on the right things and serving others faithfully? Number 3. In what way have your priorities changed since you have been following Christ consistently. Give three examples. If you want to hear, get to know, and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start, make him Lord, and live in the light, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecock. If you really want to submit to the Spirit by regular repentance, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually by Joseph Hedgecock. You need to make sure that you get on the narrow path, the broad road that leads to destruction, looks good, and is signposted heaven this way. Many well-meaning, good people attending church are on this road. I believe this book will help you. The Guilted Prison, Revised Edition by Joseph Hedgecock. This world is already passing away. You will lose your peace and your joy by serving two masters and rejecting the Spirit of Christ in complicated situations. If you become lazy, not seeking his kingdom and his righteousness, your foundation is weak or shallow. Repent deeply of what God is showing you by the Spirit. Be honest about your attitude to repentance, to be righteous in any situation. You must have the right motive when others around you are behaving badly or selfish. This is not the time to be lazy, as you have access to God's love in complicated situations. With his love, it is possible to not sin when others have no hope heading for destruction. Sin is anything that is contrary to God's perfect will for your life in thought, purpose, and action. You will not obey perfectly if you are thinking about your own well-being. God is your heavenly Father, so you do not need to be anxious or you'll miss out on the instructions you need for what's coming next. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the people who listen to this program and that you have touched their hearts about the morrow, the things that surround them personally. And I pray for them that they will fight the fight of faith. They will get hold of the tools that they need to fight and overcome. And as they respond to you in faith, you will show them how you are pleased with them because of their faithfulness to the truth. God bless them and encourage them in these last days in Jesus' name. You can find a summary of the scriptures used in today's message below the video, either written out or via link to a website. Our contact details will follow at the end of this message. God bless you. And thank you for listening.